What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host. And today I want to talk about when a friend starts to become more of ministry than an actual peer-to-peer friendship. And it does really pain us to lose friends to neediness. And when I talk about neediness, I do want to be candid that a friend starts to be a taker, and that type of friend can take too much for too long. And then we start to wonder, well, do we really enjoy being around them? Number one, like, do we now have another dependent? Like, how long do we stay committed to this friendship as opposed to saying, you know, like, God bless them, they're at a needy season? This is something that I want to do my best to help kind of fill that gap. And you can hearken back. Ooh, you guys like that hearken word, right? I don't know how you spell it, hearken. I think there's a CH in there somewhere, hearchen. Hearken back to a few episodes ago where we were talking about relationship skills and honoring and serving one another being one of those relationship skills. There were just a few nuggets in there, but I've had questions about what about when a friend actually starts to move towards a more of a ministry project, whereas in the honoring and serving one another, we were talking about how to enhance your relationships and strengthen them and move from stranger to acquaintance to actual friends. So today I want to help address that, this idea of when a friend starts to become ministry to you. I'd like you to grab your Bible. Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. And this is a really interesting passage. I got to teach on it about a year and a half ago at church. And there were some things that were just jumping off the page at me, things I don't know if I had ever seen before. The disciples are asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus says to them, this is Luke 11, verse 2, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything, I tell you.' Though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For whoever asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened." So this is the context of prayer. How should you pray? What should you pray like? Pray like an expectant friend. Think of the context here. Impudence is a term that we don't typically use in our normal English, but it means something like a persistence. You're okay with bothering the person and asking so much that you're bothering them. This type of friend is someone that we would probably consider more of a best friend. You would actually go to your best friend and say, "Hey, I know it's late, but I need your help." This expectancy is the way that we approach the Lord in our prayer. We expect, we are persistent, we pursue him. We know that he hears us the first time. We know that he's not at a saturation level, like a bandwidth problem for the Lord. Too many prayers at once, and so we have to keep going back. That's not it at all. It's that we're called to be expectant. So how does this connect to friends who become ministry? Well, our closest of friends, we can go to like this and say, "Hey, it's late, but I need some bread. Hook a brother up, hook a sister up. I got guests coming in town. I need to borrow your car. I need to borrow your room. Like, I need some bedding. Where's your air mattress?" Like, that's our modern day equivalent. Like, "Sorry to text you at 10 o'clock, but I need your help." And then we're able to do that toward them and say, "Hey, sorry to text you at 10 o'clock at night, but I need your help. My car won't start. Can I borrow your car tomorrow?" over time, as that continues to take place by one friend and one friend alone, then it starts to deteriorate the appreciation, the equity that that relationship has. So think of your home. When we finally pay off our homes, it's going to be like a glory day for us. But think like between now and then, there's equity, hopefully, rising in the value of our home. That every time we make a payment, the value continues to trend upward and what we owe goes downward. So think of that equity in relationships. In this context, Jesus says, it's like having a friend. You have so much equity, you just go to him and say, I know you're in bed. I know your kids are in bed with you. Boo-hoo, let me borrow some bread. Come on. That type of friendship, we're so close to each other that we just expect. We expect that you're going to be available to us. But when one person in a friendship does this too long, what happens is they deteriorate the equity of that relationship. So no longer are we close because you keep cashing out on trust. What does that look like? Okay, you borrowed my car on Wednesday, but it's Thursday and it's Friday. It's like, when are you getting your battery replaced? Like, I need my car back. Come on. This is getting old. Think of the friend that always needs counsel. And sometimes as a biblical counselor, like I have PTSD when it comes to just going to coffee with a buddy. Sometimes I will seriously ask, like, hey, are we just going to hang out or did you want to talk about something? Because there are times when someone will ask me to coffee and I'm like, yeah, well, let's go do breakfast, just hang out. And then we get there and they're like, so I've been meaning to ask you. And I'm like, oh, it's one of those conversations. Think even calling and asking for counsel and calling and asking for prayer and texting and saying, hey, this has been a rough day. Like that type of ask is still an ask from your friends. And so you're cashing out on equity with them. Those late night phone calls, those are starting to now add up. And the equity of your relationship is slowly being deteriorated if both of you are not honoring and serving and both of you are not investing. So in the context of friendships, it starts to become burdensome when one person is asking too much too often. That's the general principle. You're asking too much and you're asking too often. The hard part is that we begin to think of like, well, Dr. Gifford, we're supposed to love everyone. Like we're supposed to love our enemies. And I would say, yes and amen. Consider James. Let me turn over to James chapter 2. James warns us against partiality. I don't know if I just said warms or warns. James warms you on a cold day and he warns you. Warm up some partiality. I'll take two portions, please. He says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith. If you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and then you treat the person who has a kind of this poor appearance, verse 6, then you are showing partiality and this is not good. And then he goes on to say, what difference does it make? This is verse 14. My brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. A big deal, like you say, be blessed, dear brother, and I know it's cold and you're shivering, but you will see the Lord provide a jacket in some way. By the way, I'm toasty. I have two jackets on. This is uncomfortable. Let me take one off. If you don't actually do good, then it does represent that your faith may not be existent because works are an expression of saving faith, not a means to it. That's James 2. So it doesn't do good if you just say, be warmed and be filled, and you don't actually take action. So some of you start to think like, Dr. Gifford, I'm called to take action when I see somebody in need and to do good to them. And I would say, yes, absolutely. As the Lord crosses your paths, you do good to that person. But that does not necessarily mean that you're cultivating more times for your paths to cross. I've said this multiple times. When the Lord makes you aware of a need and you have the means to help with that need, you should step through that gate and say, yes, Lord, you have brought this to me and I'm going to do my best to help. And at different seasons of life, you have different resources. Early in marriage, like I'm just hustling, trying to provide for myself. I'm trying to eat my own bread. None of the less provide bread for others. But as I've grown in marriage, we've been married 20 years and now we've grown in less expenses and hopefully being paid more in different ways that I have more opportunity to help and to give. And so there's just different seasons of life that you have different resources. So yes, totally. If you're not giving at any of those seasons, then yes, I do think that you're not being faithful to do good, to meet the needs of those that are around you, that you're only not even in word, but only in word, not in deed, are you actually being gracious. So 1 John 3:18, don't let it only be in what you say, but also in your actions. But don't confuse that with friendships. When a friend starts to ask too much, it moves from, I enjoy being with them, to, oh no, what do they want? Your heart kind of drops when they text you, bing, and we're like, oh no, who's it from? Oh no, like, they're going to ask for something. I know they're going to ask for something. That is the result of us now moving from a friendship to a ministry. And we have to now see, what is it that God is calling us to do when this is taking place? So let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about fear of man and how that can push you into too deep of ministry for too long. So we'll be right back.
Back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And speaking of Dr. Gifford, his brand new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, is officially available for pre-order right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. If you ever felt like secular counseling offered you labels and not real answers and solutions, this book's going to be a game changer. It's not a bash on therapy. It's actually a gracious, scripture-soaked exposure on how the world's psychology often replaces the gospel with self-help nonsense. Greg wrote it to help you untangle the lies that sound helpful but are steering you away from biblical truth. You can pre-order your copy again right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. And if that's the kind of clarity and conviction that you're hungering for in all of life, not just counseling, then I want to point you to the Master's University. If you are a high school senior, or maybe you have one somewhere in your life, TMU is not just training the next generation of pastors and missionaries. They're shaping journalists and entrepreneurs and scientists and artists who love God's word and live it. Every degree program starts with a biblical foundation, not just tacked on to the end, but built in from the first lecture to the final thesis. It's the kind of education that's rare today and desperately needed. You can learn more about the Master's University right now at masters.edu/transformed. Now, if you're looking for something that you can tap into daily without tuition and textbooks, there's also Fortis Plus. The Fortis Plus app, completely free, no subscription, no hidden paywalls, just download and you have access to all kinds of content. You can find it right now in your app store where you download apps or by visiting fortisplus.org. And if you've been helped by anything that you have gotten from Fortis Institute or Wretched Radio or Gospel Partners Media over the years, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We've been at this for over 25 years, equipping Christians through media, counseling, discipleship, all made possible by our gospel partners. In fact, 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry, not overhead, but to the work of ministry. That's a pretty amazing fact that not a whole lot of ministries can tout. And something else that you're not going to hear from a whole lot of ministries, if you're not giving to your local church, don't give to us, because your first priority is your local church. And then if you're in a position to give beyond that, we would be honored to link arms with you. Just head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to get answers to any questions you could possibly have. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy, for your resources. Fortis has continued to grow. We're so thankful for the ways that the Lord is using this. I'm also thankful for the forthcoming book that we've been working on together. This has really been a collaboration, Lies My Therapist Told Me. So you're going to hear more and more about this in the future, but just keep an ear out for it. I'll do some episodes on Transformed in the future, but keep an ear out for Lies My Therapist Told Me, because we're really going to help break up the secular therapeutic and the secular therapeutic enterprise that's surrounding us and not helping us. So back to this episode, I said that I want to show you how fear of man can actually drive you to say yes for too long. So remember what fear of man is definitionally. Definitionally, fear of man, Proverbs 29:25, means that I let people's opinion and approval and a desire to make them happy, I let that elevate, and my desire to please God my desire for God to approve of me, his opinion of me, can actually become small. So Ed Welsh helpfully says, when people are big and God is small, and that's just a helpful way to encapsulate fear of man. We're worshiping the approval of man, or Colossians 3, that's people pleasing, 3, 23, 24, somewhere around there. So we're not people pleasers in our work, we're God pleasers in our work. So what does fear of man have to do with letting a friend start to take too much advantage of you and become ministry? Because you're afraid to tell them no. You're afraid of what they will say. You're afraid of them coming across and saying, you're like everyone else who hates me. And when we think of this hesitation, what's really going on in our heart is we want you to like us. I'm not doing this to please the Lord. I'm doing this because I don't want you to see me as being unkind. That's a really different motivation. It's very infectious though, isn't it? Like I want you to like me and think I'm kind more than I want to please the Lord. So you're going to find that the people that get entangled in these ministry / friendships the most are the people that the most struggle with fear of man. That's the reality. They are ensnared, according to Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man has laid a trap and they're in it. So what are they doing? They're grinding through this relationship because they want this person to like them and see them as compassionate more than they are really trying to please the Lord. And friends, listen, if it's like this, if that person that you're relating to thinks everyone else has turned their back on them except for you, you're the only one that's still kind to them, then let me just break it to you. It's just a matter of time before they see you as a betrayer. Everyone else has just said, we don't care anymore. Like, we're going to do good to them, but we're not trying to placate them and make them happy. You're the last one. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to say the same thing about you as soon as you are not available. So conquer your fear of man, and that will help you clarify, is this ministry or is this a genuine friendship? Because if you can't keep that line clear in this relationship, I think you're going to start to actually embed yourself with quote unquote friends. And I am using that term loosely here. You're going to embed yourself with friends that are just taking advantage of you. You're the one, you're grinding, you're up for the late night calls, everybody's borrowing your car, you're at kind of this financial deficit because you're unwilling to tell people, no, I'm not available, I can't help you, I don't have that resource to lend to you or to give you. So start with fear of man and then move your way out. Next, I want you to be sensitive that there are seasons of friendships that we are needier. Can you imagine if I got sick today and then all my friends were like, too bad, dude. Yeah, you're a ministry project now. I'd be like, what in the world? Like, what kind of friends were you? There are seasons of hardship. There are kids that are wayward and we're discouraged and we need prayer. There's times when it's just financially tight, unexpected bills, hospital, things like that. Like, it's just money is tight and we're doing our best to hustle, but it's not always easy. There are times when our health takes a seasonal downward turn. And I mean seasonal, like you don't know what it is, but there's something that affected you or you broke something and you're in the process of it healing. That's seasonal. If it becomes a lifestyle of health issues, that really does start to take a toll on friendships. So just because most of our friends can't be our long-term caregivers and we shouldn't expect them to be. But if this is a season, then we dare not. I don't know why I use like Shakespeare language. We dare not, oh Romeo, we dare not to forsake our friends in the times of hardship. Like, that is what a brother is designed for, adversity. We want to be present for our friends then. But that's a season. That's not a way of life. This isn't the future. I'm not signing up to be your licensed nurse at your home. Like, this is a season to help serve you and care for you and help you get back on your feet. But when that starts to become more than a season of need, it's deleterious. It hurts our friendship. The equity of our friendship begins to go down because of how needy that person is. So if this is more than a season, then I think we have to start to identify, okay, how do we approach this? This person has become needy. They used to be a homie. Now they're a needy homie. They're a no-me. I don't know if that works, but what do we need to do? We must start to say no, or I'm not available, or I'm not free at that time. We're trusting the Lord. We know we're trying to please him. The world would call this, Henry Cloud would love this. He would probably do some jumping jacks if I were to say this, but the world would call this boundaries. You're setting up boundaries in relationships. Remember, I've said on Transform, this is just understanding roles. Like, you know you don't have to be everywhere all the time. You're not God. You're not Jesus Christ. You're not the savior of your friends. So you don't have to be available all the time. So if you sense that this friendship is starting to become more of a ministry, then I would say, identify when you're not free. I'm not free for a call. It's 11. I got to go to bed. Like, can we talk about this tomorrow? Sorry, Saturday, I'm busy. Like, I already have plans. I can't help you do that thing. Yes, you did text me this kind of like counseling, wisdom seeking question, but I don't have time to look at it right now. I'm sorry. Like, I have a job and I have other priorities in my life. And as soon as you start to do that, what will happen is your very sensitive friend is going to get mad at you. Why have you forsaken me? I know what it was like for Jesus. And you're like, all right, I got to face the music. This is it. I knew this moment was coming. And now I'm going to be demonized as abandoning them like everyone else has. Like, that's the reality of what will happen. But if you're continuing to do good through that, you really are seeking to please the Lord, even if they're not immediately happy with you. And I have friends that I know if that I continue to placate them and say, I'm sorry, I can't make it this weekend, then they will take that very sensitively and wonder, like, what's the matter? Do I hate them? Why have I forsaken the Lord? And I just have to be confident, Lord, I want to do good to them, but I'm not obligated to be available to them all the time. So you have to start to say no. You have to start to identify when you're not available, and yet you're still doing good to them as you can. Think about this principle, that you're not being unkind if you're still being gracious to them when you see them. Okay, I'm not being unkind. I'm not being sinful. I'm not being unloving if when I see you, I'm still being gracious and loving towards you. You do not have to say yes to spending time with people that are not your friends. They're not treating you as such. Guys, this one, when this one landed on me personally, it was like a chain coming off. Greg Gifford enjoys people being at peace, not being in conflict. I don't enjoy relational, adversarial relationships. I don't enjoy that. So there was a season of my ministry where if someone said, hey, do you and your family want to come over for dinner? I felt a compulsion to say yes. Of course, we would love that. That would be great. When inwardly, we're slammed. Like, we're out 5 days this week. My kids don't know you. They're not friends with your kids. Like, my wife doesn't know your wife. Like, there is a season of life where I felt compelled to say yes to those. And I've had to slowly mature and say, no, I can't be everywhere at once. And I can't say yes to every dinner invite. Yet I do have to be gracious to people, no matter if I spend time with them or not, as the Lord crosses my path. So when you have a friend that's starting to become ministry, you have no biblical obligation to cultivate time with them. You're going to be hard-pressed to see that. What do you have a biblical obligation to do? To be kind to them, to be gracious, to be loving. And as the Lord crosses your path, you're going to do that. Most friends that are moving to the ministry context, they'll start to sense that you're pulling back, for sure. Hey, is everything okay? You've said you're not free for 3 Fridays in a row. Is everything good? And I think you just graciously say, yeah, everything's great. It's just a busy season. You know, thanks for asking. You do not have to sit down and have a formal discussion of why you are pulling back. I think you just graciously say, I'm good. We're good. There's no issue here. There's no conflict. There's no beef. We've just moved from friendship to ministry. And inwardly, you're thinking like, there's no way I can explain that well. So how are you doing that in a gracious way? I think you're doing that by pulling back a tad in the level of communication and the depth of communication that you have with this friend who's becoming more ministry and in time together. I think you're pulling back. And as you do that, in God's kindness, most people pick up on the hint that you're just not free and you're not wanting to invest in the relationship as much. That's where most people will pick up on it. But if they don't, I think there may be a point where you just have to say, I'm so sorry. Like at this current season of life, I just don't have the time to hang out like we once did. And you leave it at that. This is the line back in our biblical conflict resolution. So think of conflict resolution. You've actually sinned against me and I'm going to confront you. You're going to seek forgiveness and then we'll be restored. Our relationship goes back. But in a relationship that you don't enjoy and it continues to take and take and take, that's not necessarily the same thing as we want to be restored and you have directly sinned against me. It's just saying, look, I don't enjoy this friendship and I don't believe it to be a sin issue. I believe that we're moving towards more ministry than friendship. So in sum, don't let your fear of man drive you. Be sensitive to seasons of life. Learn how to say no or I'm not available. Be kind and gracious as the Lord crosses your paths and redefine the relationship by strategic communication and less time together. So let me pray for you guys. Please write in if you have clarifying questions on this. Many people have asked clarifying questions so far. So please write in if this starts to spur on further questions. Lord, we are grateful for friends, and yet it can be tricky at times when those friends start to become more of a duty than a delight. Would you give us all the ability to be long-suffering and to bear with one another, but then also the tenacity to just be clear that we don't jive well with certain people, and that's okay. We're going to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, and yet know this isn't working as a friend. So give us wisdom for that, and give us confidence that we want to please you ultimately. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.